This podcast is certified fresh.
Freshmediaworks.com.
Mikey Pod.
Hello.
Hi, Fairy.
Yeah.
Oh, good. You can hear me. That's always good.
Yep. That always helps.
Yeah. Well, I read a little bit about everything, and I think I don't think I learned enough to really be able to ask you like great questions. So maybe if we can just like do a conversation just about what's going on, like the basics of it, and then what people can do to postcards and that kind of stuff that you. So well, let me. I'll do an official like introduction and everything.
Okay.
And, all right. It's New Hope House is the name of the place where you are now, right?
Correct.
Okay. And what is your role there? I'm trying to.
Well, I'm the interim director, basically. The founders, one of the two founders, which are a couple, died this past December. And that was kind of abrupt. She was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor and died within 4 months.
Oh, man.
And and her husband is on sabbatical this year and trying to decide what he's going to do. And in the meantime, I'm here, and I hope to stay here, whether it's to continue directing or just be here otherwise, because it's just work I believe in.
Okay. Well, let's just call this the intro, since it's podcasting and we can be, like, casual. So this is Fairy Corland, and you're the interim director of New Hope House.
Right.
And maybe we can start with just a little bit about what New Hope House was, because we met at Koinonia. I should throw that in there, too, when I was out there doing my internship, and I never was able to schedule correctly to get you on the podcast. So now we can cover that, too.
Yeah.
About what...
Well, let me correct the pronunciation of my name. It's Caroland.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Got it. Caroland. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. And, well, tell us about New Hope House.
Okay. New Hope House has existed for 18 years now, and it is a hospitality ministry for family members of those living on death row. People can come and stay here in lieu of having to rent a hotel, and they can get food here or just simply rest. But we have 7 beds, and we also have some volunteer space so that people can come and either spend time with family members or they can come and work on the property. We've got about 12 acres, and it's in the middle of the woods, sort of hidden away, so to speak, and yet very close to the prison.
Okay. And is it like a residential area around where you are as well, or...
Yes, it is.
I'm always curious about how neighbors feel about this kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, not all the neighbors know,
okay.
For one. In the beginning, a piece of property was purchased in Butts County, also close to the prison, and everyone was very open about the purpose of it. And the original couple that were brought from California, John and Dee Kolodica, to actually begin New Hope House, they and some board members were out looking at the property, talking about what they wanted to go where and whatnot. And a man from the area drove up and was listening to some of the conversation and said, basically, build anything you want. I can burn it down.
Oh, nice.
So they decided to postpone the plans, and for 2 years, basically nothing happened. That piece of land was sold. And later, a piece of land in another county was purchased, and Ed and Mary Ruth Weir actually came to begin it. John and Dee Kolodica went on to do other things. They lived at the Open Door for a while. Now they are very active and run the Prison and Jail Project in Americus, Georgia. But they were originally brought from California to begin New Hope House, and that just did not work out because of the feelings of people in the area. And that's why we now remain unknown as to our location. We tell volunteers when they're coming. We tell family members where we are when they want to come. But otherwise, the location is generally unknown and shall remain so.
Right.
For safety reasons.
That makes sense. So one of the things I always want to throw out, just because a lot I'm gay and a lot of my listeners are gay, and that also means that a lot of people are very anti-Christian in a lot of ways. So I always like to throw in that, and this is a Christian community too. I mean, is that sort of what caused you to be interested in your Christian faith?
Definitely. And I'm in a different place than a lot of quote unquote mainline people. I've definitely seen and heard a lot of gay bashing through the years, to which I'm opposed at, and I'm in a totally different place personally than I once was. I didn't have a lot of understanding really about homosexuality. I can't still say that I have a great deal, but I'm definitely in a different place both spiritually and emotionally about all that, thankfully. But there's no doubt in my mind that there are gay prisoners. There's no doubt in my mind that there are gay family members. But, you know, percentage-wise, I don't know about any of that, and I don't really focus on that either.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I think that's kind of as it should be, too. You know, that isn't really even an issue. But I think it's important for me to point that out, just kind of because of what I learned at Koinonia and since then, just that not all Christian people are, you know, Bible-thumping. Well, I mean, Bible-thumping, I guess, goes with being Christian in a certain way, but that totally came out wrong. Anyway,
yeah.
But there's a stereotype about Christians that I'm learning isn't true. And one of those things is that it seems like a lot of the sort of fundamentalist Christians we see are also in favor of the death penalty in a lot of ways. So it's really important for me to kind of bring attention to people who don't fit into that stereotype, you know.
Yeah, well, and I think it would be safe to say that most fundamentalist Christians, although they would say otherwise, they really operate from an Old Testament perspective rather than a New Testament perspective. And yet, if you go back and look at all the reasons the death penalty was given in the past, none of us would be living today if you really applied that across the board, because the death penalty was listed in the book of Leviticus even for people who combined more than one type of fabric together. So anybody wearing polyester and cotton together today is supposed to be taken out and stoned to death. You know, it's that kind of ridiculousness that's actually there if people really look for it and look up all those things that are listed, the reasons for capital punishment. And the list includes some very ridiculous things as well as things that people might take more seriously. But if you say you go by one part of Scripture in terms of capital punishment, you really have to follow the logic to the end. And if you do, you realize that it's just not worthy of even being considered. And in the New Testament, Jesus goes on to say, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I'm here to show you a different way. And he talks strictly about mercy and forgiveness. You don't retaliate. You don't take revenge for anything, anytime, anywhere. That's hard to live by, but that's what the man said.
Yeah, and that, like, finding this, I mean, really has been a life-changing thing for me, just in terms of kind of, because I've resisted Christianity for a long time, and finally, like, finding people who say, no, really, we do what Jesus said, you know, like, it's been a good thing for me, just because there's so many, you know, stereotypes and judgments I had about Christianity. But we digress from the reason that I was so excited to talk to you today, and excited in not necessarily a positive way, but in a way that this information needs to get out to as many people as possible about Troy Davis.
Right.
So he's been, maybe if you just give a background, because I'm going to be trying to piece together just what I've read in the last half hour or so. So you can probably do it much better than I.
Okay. Well, I wish I had some of the other information in front of me that I've had, but I'll stick to the basics. Troy Davis was 21 years old when he was arrested in Savannah, Chatham County, Georgia, for shooting and killing a white policeman. A large number of us believe that he did not do it, was not involved in any kind of way. Part of what happened is that a person that testified against him is believed to be the shooter, a guy who goes by the nickname of Red on the streets of Savannah. He went to the police early the next morning and said, Troy Davis did this, you need to go arrest him, basically to keep himself out of trouble. And a handful of people that testified against Troy Davis have now come forward and said they were both pushed and harassed by police to testify against Troy Davis. And now they're all saying this person that goes by Red, quote unquote, is the real shooter. Troy Davis nor anybody in his immediate family had ever been in any kind of trouble, way, shape, or form. This young man has been on death row now 16 years, I believe it is, and he just simply has never done anything wrong. He was on his way to the Marines. He actually should have already shipped off to camp, but they changed his date. And he would have been gone already the day before, but they changed it to the day after this happened near the bus station in Savannah. And unfortunately, this is one of many people that have been arrested and sent to death row who should be completely exonerated. We're not talking about the reducing of sentence. This man needs to be completely let go. He was just very much wronged and was unfortunately in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this has happened to a number of people. There have been a number of people across the United States now who were found to be innocent after they were executed. We don't want this to happen to this man. His execution date has now been set for July 17th. And if people will go to the website for Amnesty International, they will find a connection to the name of Troy Davis. And they can sign a letter stating that they want this man to receive clemency because he did not commit the crime.
And that's something they can do right online, or is it like a? Because it looks like there were some postcards that could be written to that mm-hmm. and sent to.
There have been postcards that we have given out left and right, and I think there is a connection to that with a postcard. But the website amnestyinternational.org. will certainly tell people which direction to go in regard to Troy Davis. Exactly what people may go to may vary because there's a listing of information on the facts of the case. There has been a letter that people have signed and sent in the past. So there's been a variety of things that people could send in. Amnesty International is handling both letters and postcards that they're going to hand deliver to the Pardons and Parole Board to ask for clemency for this young man.
Okay. I was also reading in some of this information, the guys that originally testified against him that have come back, they've signed affidavits saying that he wasn't guilty too. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court refused to even deal with this case. You know, it was basically time for their time for the year to be over with, and they just didn't want to deal with it. So they refused to even look at his case in terms of an appeal. So that's what happens to people sometimes. You know, if they won't even deal with the case, then they get an execution date. So the only place you can go to then is the Board of Pardons and Paroles.
Wow. When I learn these things, it's just so infuriating, and at the same time, just... defeating because uh-huh. If our Supreme Court won't even look at the case again,
right?
It's
this is the kind of thing that what happens. Give you a for instance of the recent execution we had the first execution in the state of Georgia in 2 years last Tuesday night, a man named John Hightower. Half of the jury members from his original trial stated, and they signed affidavits also, saying that if life without parole had been an option at his trial, which it was not at the time, they would have voted for that, not the death penalty.
Hmm.
And, you know, again, this was another situation where the Supreme Court would not look at his case again either. So this is the kind of thing that happens most particularly in southern states. There's no doubt that southern states are more racist, are more punishing. There's also no doubt that the death penalty in general across the country is by far applied more to the poor of any race, but especially African Americans.
Right.
We do not know how to deal with the poor. The prison system basically has become the housing for the poor. That's the only housing we actually try to provide for the poor in this country now. And that's just a shame.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many details people don't know. You know, when I visit people, I visit a couple of young guys on death row personally, and when you go into the visitation area, it feels comfortable temperature-wise, but what people don't know and don't even care about knowing by and large is that those guys don't have air conditioning, they don't have heat in the winter, you know, they don't have those things. So some of them are very glad to come out for a visit because it's the only time they have a comfortable temperature even.
What is your response to people who, because I can hear the voices in my head of people saying, well, they don't deserve it. They're killers or they're lawbreakers or criminals. You know, they don't deserve to have mm-hmm. air conditioning or, you know, like mm-hmm. what do you say mm-hmm. to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are some people who aren't going to change their minds about that no matter what. And I have to decide very quickly in the course of the conversation if I want to spend my time even talking with an individual saying that kind of thing.
Right.
But I would want to ask, well, what do you know about this specific person's case I was just mentioning to you? What do you know about it? And then I would share with them what I know about it. 9 times out of 10, that person doesn't know anything of what they're talking about. They don't know the individual person. They don't know anything about a group of people as a whole on death row. And they haven't wanted to. They can pretend that not under any circumstances would they suddenly turn and commit an act like that. So it's easier to keep a distance.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, given the right circumstances, any of us can do something really stupid and really wrong. And part of the facts on any of these people's lives is that they didn't have usually even a person that they could look to for any kind of guidance. Their parents or their grandparents used drugs. They were alcoholics. They were neglectful. Some of these guys were locked in closets as kids. They were beaten as kids. Some of them were sexually abused as kids. These are all people that had a very rough childhood, and that's part of what the general public also does not want to hear. And sometimes somebody would probably say something to the effect of, well, some people are abused as kids and they don't grow up to be killers or something mm-hmm. like that. And my response to that is, well, a lot of them do grow up to be addicts or to have eating disorders and things like that, because I've worked with folks in the past that was the case with, that didn't necessarily kill someone, but they had a horrific adulthood until somebody else stepped in and gave them some kind of guidance, put them under their wing and said, you know, in one form or the other, I can show you a different way to live. And without that kind of person stepping forward, that just doesn't happen for those folks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get so much of that. Yeah. There's so many things that sort of boggle my mind. And a lot of it is just that I've been in that position too of like just not wanting to think about that. So I'll just classify all those people as criminals and mm-hmm. I'll be able to go on with my life not thinking about the fact that people are getting killed.
Right.
You know, by our government.
Right. Mhm. Well, and there's also a question of whether this execution was botched recently. John Hightower's attorneys are still looking into that because all the witnesses, they had driven them around to the back of the prison where the death house is, and they were kept in the vehicles, motors running, for 40 minutes. And no one ever explained to them what was going on. It was said at one point in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution newspaper that it took the nurses 40 minutes to find a vein. Okay. The next day, they retracted that and said, oh, no, that was wrong. The prison told us that it took them 40 minutes to get the prisoner into the room. Well, that didn't make any sense either. So there's a real question as to what was going on. Now, the witnesses are never brought in to the observation room until they have a prisoner lying down and all hooked up to the IVs. So there was no way for them to know what had happened before that. But his attorneys are definitely scurrying around trying to figure out what happened and trying to get somebody to talk to them, and I don't know if they've gotten anybody yet.
What is the reasoning behind not having the witnesses in there until the prisoner is tied down?
My personal guess is, in case something does go wrong, then I don't want anybody to see it.
Yeah, but then
that's my personal guess.
But it's that's why we would want to have a witness in there, but they can get away with just not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, have we left out anything important about? We've talked about what they can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the folks out there that are praying, folks, to pray for Troy to be at peace. Either way, pray that he and his family be protected. His sister Martina in Savannah has just been his, you know, his stronghold for the past several years, and she has just worked and worked and worked, and she's dealing with her. With some breast cancer issues right now, which is another sad area, but we just need to keep that family in mind and prayer, and people need to send those letters and postcards in as fast as possible.
And Martina has a letter on his website, I think I read. I didn't realize that was his sister.
Yeah, that's okay. His sister. Yep.
So, all right. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and I'll get this up as soon as possible so we can get some people writing letters.
Okay,
and
that's great.
Is there a website for New Hope House?
You know what? There's not, but I'm going to create one. I should have done it before now, but hopefully we'll find one.
Okay. Well, let me know when it's there.
Okay. We have Post Office Box 1213, Griffin, Georgia 30224, and people can find that organization under igive.com. And also under goodsearch.com. If you do a search on the web, you can put New Hope House in to benefit even from a web search or a search on the internet. And iGive lists over 600 or so stores that are online that are very well known. And if people make a purchase, a portion of that purchase can go to us.
Oh, great. Okay. And I also found it under Mennonite Mission Network when I just did a quick search.
Yeah.
So
we get quite a number of volunteers to the Mennonite Church. Yeah.
Okay. And if people are interested in volunteering, can they just send a letter to you or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, great. Thanks for doing this on such short notice.
Oh, no problem.
And,
good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. And I'll reprogram my mind to say your last name correctly.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good night.
All right. You too, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Girl, traveling with my pops, thrown in jail for nothing by some southern racist cops. Reverend Martin told us what needed to be done, and if he can preach it, we can sing it. Help to make the new day come. We took the walk to D.C. My heart in the church, I prayed on my child, fix that anger and hurt. It's been almost 50 years. How much longer would it last? We need a change now more than ever. Why we're still treated so bad? With my own eyes, saw it with my own eyes. With my own eyes, so I know it's true. I saw New Orleans, saw all the people left for dead. I've heard every bald face lie you politicians said. I've seen it for myself, and you can't fool your sight. Well, we'd better make a change, and we'd better start tonight. With my own eyes, saw it with my own eyes. Oh, my own eyes, so I know it's true. Showed up, I do. With my own eyes, I saw it with my own eyes. Y'all can't fool me, I saw it, I saw it, yes I did. So I know the truth, I know the truth, I know the truth. I saw it, we saw it. My father would tell me, he said, Mavis, I've seen this years ago when I was a boy, and I thought by now all of this should have been taken care of long ago. When I was a boy, I didn't think I'd be a grown man looking at it still. We got to spread our word. You just be strong. Be strong. As long as you got your family, that's the strongest unit in the world. Stick together with your brothers and sisters. That'll keep you strong. Can't nobody break you. All right, Pops. It's been almost 50 years though. Longer will it last? We need a change now more than ever. Why? Somebody tell me why. Are we still treated so bad?
Tell you no lie.
leave that to the politicians.